It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Harditz, and today we continue our Fantasy File series with a look at the Los Angeles Rams' new franchise quarterback, Matthew Stafford. I mean, it seems like ages ago that the Lions and the Rams pulled this trade off to begin with, and it really did kickstart what's been a hectic offseason in my mind. I mean, maybe it was the pandemic, or maybe it was no XFL or AAF to sink our collective teeth into, but whatever it was, I feel like this offseason has really grinded by, and Stafford getting traded to the Rams for Jared Goff, along with a 2021 third, 2022 first, and 2023 first round picks. And that was a blockbuster deal. And most other offseasons, I think it would have dominated conversation, but it's freaking 2021. We can't have our attention span more than a couple of days before some other random NFL news is dropping. You know, these days the coach speak running more rampant than ever. But anyway, Matthew Stafford with the Rams. I want to go through exactly what he's been doing in his career and what we're looking ahead to in 2021 in Fantasyland. So first thing, I understand people haven't exactly been grinding every single Detroit Lions game over the years. Not great, not entertaining. They haven't been good. From a win-loss standpoint, Stafford has been nothing but a disappointment for the Lions. I mean, number one overall pick in 2009. Remember, people, quarterback wins are not a good stat. Just looking at top 10 scoring defenses during that time, Stafford has only had two. Tom Brady has had 11. Ben Roethlisberger has had 8. Russell Wilson, 5. Drew Brees, 4. Hell, even Matt Ryan and the Falcons had 3 top 10 scoring defenses during that stretch. So, hey, Stafford, even when the moments were big, he hasn't always come through. I get it. This was not always his fault, though, people. I mean, he was pretty good in Detroit for it all. And, don't even take my word for it. Go talk to Aaron Rodgers about it. When he was on Pat McAfee's show this offseason, it was funny. McAfee was kind of ribbing him, like, good to see Mahomes bringing in the, no-look pass in the NFL, because Rodgers famously was doing that so much during his as a kind of scout team QB with the Packers that the defensive coordinator was getting pissed off at him during his early years in the NFL. Obviously, Rodgers does plenty of that on a week-to-week basis nowadays too. But anyway, he took the moment to just kind of give Matthew Stafford a big shout out. He's like the guy in Detroit's been doing a lot of things like that over the years and doesn't really get the same credit for it. So again, if you don't want to take my word for it, take Aaron Rodgers for it. Matthew Stafford has been nothing but a pretty damn good quarterback ever since coming into the league. And that really has carried over into fantasy more years than not. So first year, crappy rookie. Second year, he only played 3 games. Since 2011, though, Stafford has been fantasy's QB5, QB10, QB6, QB17, QB9, QB7, QB6, QB20, QB29, most recently QB15. So, I mean, for, 7 years, he was a QB10 or higher in 6 times. Recent years, we haven't seen the same sort of, success, but we really got to examine them a little bit more, because 2019, man, they got Daryl Bevell in the house, and this shit was amazing, for about 8 games until, unfortunately, the back injury forced him out of the picture. But in 2019, the only quarterbacks to average more fantasy points per game than Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott. I mean, he set all sorts of career-high marks in that year because he was finally throwing the ball down the field, had a league-high average target depth. And yeah, it turns out that, letting Stafford, who's always had a bazooka for a right arm, throw downfield instead of checking it down to, Golden Tate and Theo Riddick 200 times a season, turns out it's a pretty good idea. So credit to Stafford for making that happen in 2019. And last year, he played 16 games. It didn't go all that great, obviously, but playing with the 32nd ranked defense and only getting 4.5 games from Kenny Galladay, I mean, we give a lot of quarterbacks, Dak Prescott before he got Amari Cooper was playing like crap. We've talked about Matt Ryan splits without Julio Jones. I mean, most quarterbacks play worse without their number one wide receiver. People seem to not get that point when it goes to OBJ and Baker, but I won't get into that rant again. But I understand that, Stafford wasn't as good without Kenny Galladay. And even with that said, he still had 26 touchdowns, just 10 picks last year, even with Marvin Jones and Danny Amendola being his clear-cut top 2 guys. So using that 2019 kind of split, again, when Bevell joined the picture. He's been a great real life quarterback, everybody. PFF passing grade over the past 2 years, number 9 among 59 qualified QBs, big time throw rate, tied for 3rd, turnover worthy play rate, number 5. I mean, he's been making big time throws and not turning it over, at least more in recent years. Yards per attempt, number 8, adjusted completion rate, 43rd, and QB rating 13. So the one big issue has been that completion rate, but I will say, when he's been targeting wide open or just open receivers, he improves it to 89.5% from 72.3%. So I love Kenny Golladay. Even though Marvin Jones is on my ages list, he's been a lot of fun to watch over the years with these insane contested catches he seems to make all the time. But that's the issue. Both these guys have, you know, not really been separation machines. They've been guys that you toss it up to in 50-50 situations, and credit to them for coming down with a lot of them. It just hasn't been the most QB-friendly system, and that's when we get to the Rams. I mean, Sean McVay, I understand 2020 didn't produce the given results they wanted. They were the 22nd ranked scoring offense. Before that, number 1, number 2, number 11, they have been just the top 8 offense overall in EPA per play ever since McVay got there. And when you just go behind the scenes even more to look at, you know, some of just the smarter metrics, the stuff that we see some of the better offenses do, you just can't say anything other than Stafford is entering the best situation of his career. Play action rate, the Rams have been number 1 since 2017. The Lions, 27th. Pressure rate, Rams number 12. Lions, 15th. Screen rate, Rams number 7. Lions, 14th. Drop rate, Rams number 2. Lions, 13th. Shift motion rate, Rams number 7. Lions number 27. Targets to an open or wide open receiver, Rams 4th. Lions, 21st. Like, whatever metric you want to look at, it's just been a better offense to be in LA than Detroit over the past 4 years. And it really comes down to pressure as well. Last year, Stafford pressured in under 2.5 seconds on 20% of his dropbacks, just 17% for Goff. But I want to focus on this pressure because that could be the issue with the Rams. I mean, credit to them for really improving their offensive line in 2020, despite not adding like any real resources to it. You know, CC 2021 Pittsburgh Steelers kind of looking to do the same thing. And they were good. I mean, at least in pass blocking, 10th best pass blocking unit. It was more on Goff than the offensive line in terms of what he just couldn't do whenever anybody just even remotely okay at rushing the passer kind of got involved. The issue is I can see this unit declining. They have never had, you know, they keep trading all their first round picks, so they're not having all these opportunities to add high end resources to the offensive line. Andrew Whitworth, you know, amazing career. He's 39 years old. How much longer can we depend on this guy to really take away a team's best pass rusher? It could be an issue. Like, this is how this offense could be bad this year if the offensive line falls apart. The good news is we saw the offensive line, again, maybe not protect Goff as much as he needed to be protected last year. But the reason for that is because Goff is like the most or second most pressure dependent quarterback in the league. Only my guy, Drew Lock, had a worse difference in yards per attempt when kept clean versus when under pressure last year. I mean, Jared Goff, the second he got any sort of pressure, the play was just over. And that wasn't the case with Matthew Stafford. Like, look, he's not Kyler, not Lamar Jackson. I understand he's not, you know, going to make big plays scrambling when he's under pressure, but whether it's his pocket awareness, just having that, again, just howitzer, however you say that. I love that expression, howitzer for a right arm. Whatever you want to say about Stafford, the only guys that averaged more yards per attempt when under pressure last year were Deshaun Watson and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So he's going to a better overall offense schematically, where the one issue, which is offensive line play that could lead to more pressure, just it hasn't been as big of a problem with Stafford as it was with Goff. And it was truly Goff's kind of biggest kryptonite. And then the third thing we can really look forward to in this offense is more field stretchers. I mean, Deshaun Jackson, okay, even if it's only going to be a week or two, it might as well be a fun week or two. Van Jefferson, I mean, he did come in as the fastest player at the 2020 Senior Bowl. I was impressed with what he did as a rookie. You know, Josh Reynolds did play over him for most of the time, but if he's your number 3 or number 4 receiver, I think you're okay. And then Tutu Atwell ran the 40 in 4.32 seconds. Hey, you know, depends on the day. He only weighs like 150, 160 pounds, whatever it is. But either way, the guy can fly. Can't deny that. And people, I mean, Goff, like, he wouldn't throw downfield last year. Only Alex Smith, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Drew Brees posted a lower average target depth than Goff. I mean, it's embarrassingly low. To his credit, he didn't, again, Reynolds, Van Jefferson, these guys weren't just top field stretching options. I'm not sure how long D-Jax is going to be out there. Tutu carries some sort of injury concerns. The guy's nickname is literally Tutu. Like, that seems like kind of a red flag. I don't know. Either way, though, clearly McVay wants to throw the ball some more, and he's got a guy that can do it. And this takes us right into our PFF Lily stat. Matthew Stafford, since entering the league in 2009, has completed a league-high 11 passes throwing at least 50 yards in the air. Like, you know, we talk about arm talent sometimes, you know, almost every quarterback in the NFL has high-end arm talent. I get that. But I don't think you need more than two hands to name the amount of quarterbacks with better, just, again, overall arm talent than Matthew Stafford. So for me, in fantasy land, he's my QB 12. I would take him ahead of Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield. He's in the same tier, mix of upside with the demonstrated floor. I have Joe Burrow, Tom Brady, just ahead of him. I'm considering jumping him, man. I guess my one issue was my issues with Stafford. Doesn't have the same rushing upside as many of the guys ahead of him. And this defense, like reigning number one scoring defense, even if they're not coached quite as well, still got Ramsey, still got Donald. You would assume that even though Staley's gone, they're going to kind of keep with the same scheme that got him so much success last year. If they're going to have that, it could be more of a game manager situation for Stafford. He might not need to put his foot on the gas as much as we were wanting to do in fantasy land. I mean, if he just kind of does what he did last year, like statistically, even maybe a little bit better than, you know, 4,000, 4,500 yards, you know, maybe flirts with the 30 touchdown mark, doesn't turn the ball over. That's just not going to be much more than a borderline QB1, you know, performance. So that's where he's being priced everywhere. You know, QB 12 on Underdog. So I'm right in line with the public. QB 13 over at Sleeper, Fantasy Football Calculator. I do think on Underdog, you know, it makes a lot of sense to kind of attack him at this price range because Robert Woods, wide receiver 19, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 20, Higby, tight end 8. I mean, you can really make the Rams stack in the middle rounds without having to worry too much about it. So, hey, people, want to get some more information about the upcoming season, including Stafford? Check out PFF's Podcast Network, which covers everything NFL, college, and fantasy football. You can recap the NFL draft with Mike Renner and Austin Gale's 2-for-1 Drafts podcast, or get all the 2021 betting content you need with the PFF forecast. And also, if you like fantasy football and if you like playing fantasy for money, you need to check out Underdog Fantasy. Underdog's got everything, including the season-long and playoff best ball. Best ball is a season-long game where you draft a team like you normally do, but that's it. There's no in-season roster management. Underdog automatically selects your best performers each week, saving you loads of time. So go to Underdog Fantasy and deposit $10 using promo code PFF and get a free PFF Edge annual subscription. That's promo code PFF. Draft now. Underdog Fantasy. Thank you as always for tuning in, everybody. Fantasy Files out every single day over at the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. And people, you know, I really do appreciate the comments and the just, you know, Twitter mentions talking about the podcast. I fully realize I need to work on slowing it down. I know it's not the most comfortable thing for you listeners out there. Only been hosting podcasts for a year now. I hit my 1-year anniversary at PFF, so really need to work on that in year two. I am trying, just something that I've always kind of battled my whole life. Got a lot to say. And, you know, when I do these solo podcasts, you know, it's something I got to be particularly mindful of because it's tough not having someone to bounce stuff off. So I'm working on that. Appreciate y'all holding me accountable. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just want everyone here to win their fantasy football leagues and have a fun time doing it. So I work on that. You all work on, again, just getting to the bottom of winning those fantasy leagues and we'll all be happy. So I'm Ian Harditz, and until next time, take care, everybody.